Zolak and Bertrand are live at Radio Row at the Mall of America. Thanks to Direct Federal Credit Union on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
We also booked another guest for the 1 o'clock hour that I failed to mention, Zo. Someone who was on the show last year on Radio Row. I don't believe she's bringing her husband this time.
Oh, I know who you're talking about.
Who?
Jenny McCarthy.
Yes.
Shame Donnie's not coming. He's a sweetheart. Ah, Jenny. Come on.
Think she's alone this year.
Yeah.
Think she's going solo.
What's she going to talk about?
I haven't seen any Wahlbergs here this year. Have you?
No.
Last year, everybody was here. Donnie,
it's almost like
Markey.
They're to the point where they don't have to promote anymore, you know?
Burger guy, Paul.
Yep.
My son, Bob.
We had mom on the phone.
Right. We had their mom call in on the phone.
Oh, God.
Right?
Yeah.
Alma called in on the phone. We had a great time. I can't believe that was a year ago already.
It's the name of the restaurant on the South Shore,
Alma Nova. Yeah, down Hingham Shipyard. Nice spot. Or you can go to get a burger at Wahlburgers.
I'd rather go down
get
there.
Get some tater tots.
Wahlburgers right downstairs. I don't think it's open yet, though, here in the Mall
here?
Of America.
Yeah.
There's Wahlburgers
saw
in the
that
Mall
at
America.
The media party coming out, yeah.
Probably would have been a good idea for them to have that open for Super Bowl week, but I guess they couldn't get it done.
Yeah.
Construction delays.
Yeah, there's other places to eat. Zoe's going for Panda Express for a third day in a row.
Wanted
to go out for Chinese food last night. Yeah. We vetoed Zoe.
No.
We told Zoe no. You've had enough Chinese food.
I didn't care,
and I said, why do you want to go to P.F. Chang's so bad? I said, I like the horses. I like the big horses out front.
I just like the feel of P.F. Chang's. It's like
nice
a cool
feel.
Place. Yeah. Can we talk about what we found last night? Like the fact that we are staying 3 miles from Mall of America, the biggest shopping experience that you could ever have.
Sure. Yeah.
That there's actually a nicer, higher end, massive mall.
I don't know
about a mile from here.
I don't know if it's nicer or higher end, but there's another big mall close by here.
There's better stores.
And it's also very nice.
There's better stores. Yeah.
Well, Zoe and I just thought that based on where we were, a few miles out of town.
Right.
That we, you know, the closest stuff was where we had been coming every day at the Mall of America. We happened to take a left out of the hotel instead of a right and discovered we are actually in a very busy area as well that we had failed to realize. So we're loving it now, man.
Why do you keep saying nicer? What do you got against lids?
We found two more yesterday.
I know.
We found two more lids.
Yeah, the count is
okay.
up to four.
We've seen four. I don't think we've made a full lap of the mall yet, and we've seen four lid stores.
I do want to say this. If you're coming to this game and you're already here on the ground and you're looking to go to buy gear for it, whether it's Super Bowl 52 or all the Patriots stuff, the bottom floor Macy's is where you want to go. That is because second floor. I'm sorry.
Scott.
So second floor.
You went into Macy's?
I did. Sure. It's right scratchy. You go to Macy's all the time. But massive, massive amounts of gear. And the main gear that they actually do have is the white Brady pullover, the hooded one, with the 12 on it and the logo.
Yeah. Those are tough to find.
You won't find them anywhere in one more day. So if you want to go, Macy's has got them.
Okay.
Yep. I'd go there.
Okay, then.
Better prices.
That's what we'll do.
Yeah.
We'll definitely be doing that.
Sanctioned NFL gear, though. It's all legit. Licensed.
I would hope so.
Josh in Rhode Island with a thought on future of the Patriots coaching situation. Hey, Josh.
Hey, good afternoon, guys. I heard you mention Jim Harbaugh. And my guy that would replace Belichick, I don't know how much college football you guys watch, but Chris Peace and Washington Huskies pretty much get more out of his team with a lot less than Jim Harbaugh at the college level. And, you know, doesn't put up any BS, kick Marcus Peters off the team. You know, I just think that would be a great guy to replace Belichick.
I think he's been disappointing Harbaugh from the quarterback standpoint. A lot's been made over the last, you know, 5 years about how he's been able to recruit these kids. And he shows up and he sleeps in the room with them, you know. And that's like, here, you got bunk beds, let's shack up together for the night. It's weird, but he's had the ability to recruit these great quarterbacks, and he can't get them to play well on the field. That scares me.
So you love Chris Peterson, former Boise coach,
yes.
The trick plays and all
yes.
that. You love the Statue of Liberty and all that stuff.
Hokey-doke. I'd lose
That's
my mind
favorite
in the booth.
Thing.
Yep. I get so excited when I say, oh, here comes the reverse, because you can see it developing. There's the lateral. Oh, yeah. Plus, he shoots the guns. Yeah. Plus, he shoots the guns. He's out there on the field after high-fiving his players and all that. Yep.
I can't wrap my head around Jim Harbaugh coming in and having another lackluster showing at any other team, much less the Patriots. Did he perform anywhere near to expectations at Michigan?
1 year.
No. Here's what you got to do at Michigan.
You want to keep your job for a long time?
You
beat Ohio State every year.
You got to beat Ohio State or Michigan State. At least one of them, preferably both, every year.
Sort of
I think he beat one once.
Yeah.
I think he beat Michigan State once.
Yep.
And that's it.
You're right.
Went over against Ohio State and lost the other two, I believe, against
Michigan.
Saying.
Let me put this in easier terms to understand for everyone. Would you rather have Nick Saban or would you rather have Harbaugh?
Saban.
Come on.
Oh, it's Harbaugh for me. I would not
what?
Take
the closest
Saban.
Thing to Belichick.
Oh, my
Saban.
God.
Seamless.
This is why I don't sit there and worry about what Harbaugh did at Michigan or what he's done or has he been a disappointment. Nick Saban wins the national title freaking year, and I wouldn't take that guy back in the NFL because he's clearly a college coach, and the Miami experience should have proven that to everybody.
So what
he's a teacher of boys, not men.
What do you base it on, then?
I base it on Harbaugh's experience in the NFL of taking a team to the Super Bowl very early in his coaching career. I value his NFL experience more than I do his college experience, and that is consistent with what I say about Nick Saban. Very consistent.
I think Harbaugh's one Super Bowl trip is not enough to overcome what I think of him as being. He's suited more to college than Nick Saban is. The rah-rah factor. I don't think that flies
in
the NFL.
I think Jim belongs. Yeah, we always thought this about Pete Carroll. That Pete Carroll belongs at the collegiate level.
No.
He's
the exception.
Pete is the lone, the only exception to Hardy's point. You're exactly right. He made it work at the next level. I remember being out in Seattle for that Seattle game that we did years ago. And you know how the Patriots have their locker room? You can't get anywhere near the locker room, let alone. Seattle had both doors propped open. Kids running in and out. And I'm going past it. I'm like, what is this? Is this the daycare? No, that's the Seattle locker room. They have open access.
Is this the media lounge?
Yeah, exactly. I almost walked in there because I saw kids and random people just walking. Pete's like, and you hear the music bumping. Pete's got it wide open. This is 2 hours before the game.
Yeah.
Crazy. Crazy.
Wide open. Ready to go. 617-779-0985. Right now, the CBS Sports Minute brought to you by Spiegel Scrap Metal. John Feinstein says the time is now to speed up MLB games.
Live from the Mall of America, talking sports and
what can I do for you?
Returning pants, Zolak and Bertrand on Radio Row. Thanks to Direct Federal Credit Union on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Welcome back to Zolak and Bertrand from the Mall of America in Minnesota as we get ready for Super Bowl 52. We have another guest in our Big Y world-class market guest chair. Make yourself comfortable in that chair. Merrill Hodge, how are you?
Good to see you, boys.
Good to see you, bud.
You said a quarterback is already late. He almost missed our call time, right?
And
he
said, Where were you anyway?
I went to get a soda. Went to the Not Done Network.
Right. You're at the Melt Shop. That's 10 steps away. That ain't that far.
Is it good?
I'm going there next.
Are you?
I'm going there next. I just rolled into this town,
did
man.
You?
I just rolled in. I was in Palm Springs. I'm pulling
change.
Nancy Kerrigan all the way to the airport. Why am I going? Am I leaving this weather?
Well, you got to get paid.
All the way there.
What do you make of this game? What are your early thoughts on this one?
Listen, I think it's going to be a close game. I think this is a team that poses a lot of problems to New England because they have the two things that you ultimately have to have to beat them. Well, actually, three things. And I think on a national stage, it's probably not known as much. But the one thing, they have a power running a game that the one thing I've always, you know, I'm Bill Belichick, Bill Parcells and I worked together for a long time. Yep. We had a great conversation one time, and I learned a ton of things from Bill philosophically. But he was like, you know, Merrill, of all the things that were most important in the NFL, and conceptually I think most people know this, it just crystallized it for me. He said, you got to control the tempo. When you fail to control the tempo, it's just hard to win in this league. And he's like, that's why, you know, having a great run defense and really being able to run the football, if you can do that, you control not only your environment, you control their environment. And the Eagles have that chance to do that because they have that power running game. I mean, you guys know a little bit about Blunt and on Jay Ajayi.
Do you like the game now that guys like Fournette are, you know, are priority? The teams are drafting guys. You look at Dallas a year ago.
The running back feels like it's making a comeback.
Patriots have four really good backs. Yeah. I know the Eagles got three.
But I it's because really, listen, if you guys look at your history, you lost two Super Bowls. What was probably the one phase of those teams
no
you didn't
backs.
Have?
No backs.
And the time, listen, when you beat Philadelphia, the thing that was the difference, if you remember that Super Bowl, Brady was getting thumped around. Mm-hmm. Donovan was getting thumped around. What did the Patriots do?
Dylan,
we're going to give you it about eight straight times. We're going to calm this thing down. We're going to start controlling the tempo. Philly, you have a shot to win it. You have a hole as big as this mall, but your runner is a perimeter guy, and your defense knew it, and he bolted to the sideline. They had no power aspect to the thing because they have a – you see this, Teddy Bruschi is in the hole. Now, the hole you put – I'm trying to think of the runner they had in Philadelphia. He was so good.
It wasn't Westbrook.
Yeah, Westbrook.
Yeah,
okay.
Brian Westbrook.
Good call, brother. You're the man. Westbrook, you put Westbrook in as big as this whole area is right now. That's how big the hole was. And you put Bruschi together. Who wins that matchup? Westbrook's going to leave him in.
Yeah.
Neither one of them even attempt the hole because Bruschi in his studies knows he ain't coming downhill. He's going to the perimeter. Both of them are running laterally, and this is the last drive of the game. He probably hits his head on the goalpost on that play.
Yeah.
But that was a difference in that Super Bowl.
Huh.
You know, and I've never, and listen, it's not the only thing. You got to be able to complement that, but Philly can complement that. Now, the Patriots don't have that, but they have Brady, who's probably one of the unique guys. If he could control the tempo in any one game throwing it, he can. And anybody would go to battle with that and be fine with it. But those runners are used, even though in a perimeter fashion, to do it. And they're still going to attack you down the field. They're not going to let you, just to smack you in the mouth.
Right.
You know, they don't have that guy that's going to do it like a Blunt did it, but they don't get away from it. And that's the one thing that is, to me, I mean, it always makes. And then the one thing that makes them hard to beat is they just don't make mistakes. They don't beat themselves. But that is what Peterson, I don't know if you know Peterson very well. He has really built that culture there over the last couple of years. That's some of the principles they've been on. It just hasn't been on a national stage like the Patriots where you know, hey, listen, they're not going to be the knucklehead that just made a tackle. Keep in mind the runner got 7 yards, and he stands up and he's pointing on his jersey that I just made a great hit. Now, meanwhile, it's second and four.
Yeah.
But for some reason, you feel like I'm going to show everybody I just made a big hit. I mean, you just don't see. You see them. They're professionals. They don't make mistakes. They play team-oriented football. I mean, yeah, they got great players. But all of those things matter. That makes a difference. You know, the Eagles have been developing that over the last couple of years with Peterson. You're going to see it on a national stage. It's almost like the Patriots from a professional aspect back in the day when they started.
And almost like they watch two different teams. You watch Wentz all year and see part of the problem when I call the games for them. I didn't get a chance to see Philly a lot because
yeah.
They're usually on at 4:25.
Right.
And, you know, you're either doing a wrap up or traveling. And then I finally got to see him, and that's the game he gets hurted.
Right.
And then so I watched the two playoff games. He operated pretty well. Did Nick Foles? And this is the part where I think maybe. Where they lose this one is the length of this game and how this Sunday, the Sunday game is different than a regular season game.
Right.
To where it consumes Nick.
Yep. And listen, now nobody knows. Listen, I remember the first playoff game we ever went to play in. We're going to play the Houston Oilers. They got all kinds of experience. They're the best team in football. They're supposed to not win the AFC and then win the Super Bowl. And they'd already beat us twice. We got no experience. I think we got Dwayne Woodruff, who played a Super Bowl like 10 years ago, and he was our only guy with any experience. We went down there, and we took them toe-to-toe and thumped them. Okay, then, so what I'm getting at is like, everybody's like, oh, they have no experience. They're going to go down there. They've already lost twice. They got no shot. And honestly, playing in that environment, yes, there was a different intensity. It was different. but it only helped us. It only helped me play at a better level. So we don't know if that happens. But look, I'll ask you this question, and this is why Philly is playing much better now than, say, when Nick started playing. When did you finally get in a rhythm? Like, if you ever had to replace a guy, it takes almost a month before really, A, you start to get in rhythm. I start as a coach understanding, okay, how I need to call my game because it's different than Wentz. We don't keep the same thing and morph it. And you really saw that in the NFC Championship game. You could see that there's a comfort level with him and play calling that will help the Eagles versus just having a couple starts versus the four or five he's had now.
He's had the double bye, too. So he had the double bye before the divisional round, a bye there, and then he had the bye before the Super Bowl. Yeah. So he's had 4 weeks to sort of offset him and figure out what he doesn't do well.
Yeah. But, I still know Marvel, though. Of all the team photos that you have from the last time these two played, Tom Brady's the only guy who's standing there. That's
still there. He looks younger.
Yeah, but I don't care if you're a favorite fan or a hater or to lose, to get blah. I mean, to blur your vision on how he has been able to be that great is, to me, bothersome. That you don't, you can learn from that. Like life is about taking care of yourself, maximizing whatever opportunities you have by how you work, how you prepare, how passionate you live for something. Like, we can all apply those to everything that we do in life and the benefits from them and what comes from that hard work and that discipline. Well, everybody has the choice to apply that or not apply it. And I just always admired how he's taken care of himself, how he's played at a high level. It's not an accident. It's not like, oh, he's just more gifted than everybody else. How he pays attention to details from how he eats, how he takes care of himself, how he practices, how he prepares. I just love that kind of professionalism. And I just think anybody could gather energy from that, use that to whatever they're doing in life. It doesn't have to be sports. It can be any aspect of life. And I have enormous respect for the Patriots and Brady from that perspective.
We're talking with Merrill Hodge. To beat the Patriots in this game, don't you have to beat Tom Brady? Don't they have to get
to him and see,
in
this that's
game?
Where the Eagles do have some matchups they can create in the trenches.
They've got great depth.
And they got depth. And people go, well, they might hurry up. And they could. Listen, but you can't hurry up. You don't get on the field and stay on the field. You still leave the field. So I'm still going to have the ability to rotate. Maybe it's not throughout. But the Phillies will go a series. The Eagles will take, five or play. They don't rotate them out every play. So they'll still get rotation. I think you see the difference in that one, or the advantage of it, is around fourth quarter. You're not probably going to see that in the first or second, but it will probably rear its head one way or the other in the fourth quarter.
And this could be the type of game where one or two plays make the difference. Mm. It's the Super Bowl. You've got two good teams in the game.
And it usually does. As long as there's no turnovers, and even with those, the Patriots have been able to – well, listen, I think in the Super Bowl last year, they offset each other, right? There was one apiece.
Yeah.
And the one that ends up being critical, everybody always – in the last two Patriot losses – I mean wins – it has been their defense that has made the difference. That's why people go, defense wins championships or offense wins. I said, no, teams win championships, bro, because nobody is getting the ball and staying on the field the whole game. The other side of the ball is coming out there to play at some point, and it's going to play, who knows, 25 to 32, who knows, but it's going to play.
Yeah.
So they got to match whatever the other side's doing to win this game.
That last win coming against the Jacksonville Jaguars for the Patriots, Zoe and I all season long had sort of been working on the assumption that the Steelers were going to be there.
I think you were not alone.
And they weren't. So
sucks.
What do you say about the state of the Steelers right now?
Well, listen, there was one flaw. And I've always believed this, that if you have a flaw that keeps getting exposed and you really don't correct it, it's going to cost you in the Super Bowl. Cost you in the playoffs, because it's going to get exposed by somebody because they're going to be good enough. Chicago destroyed them by running the football all over them. Jacksonville did it the first time, running all over them. Anybody who did it and had that power element really gave them fits.
Yeah.
Well, Jacksonville, they never could correct that.
What's the best thing you liked? I'm a Pittsburgh kid. I grew up there. What's the best thing you liked about being a Steeler? What was the greatest thing about being a Steeler?
You know what?
You played in the old stadium where I had the season tickets.
Yeah, I'm going to tell you this. I had never been around, just greater fans and people.
Uniform, too.
And just the black and gold. Yeah. The walk. I remember my rookie year, my first game, we're playing the San Francisco 49ers. So I'm first going to live my dream. First game of the NFL game I ever watched. I'm going to play in.
A classic game
I'm coming to Three Rivers, and I'm like,
look at all the jerseys. There's black and gold everywhere. And I'm telling you, I was like, wow.
Yeah.
That's cool, man.
It is.
That was cool.
How many ties you bring to the game? Because like, you tie the best knot in the business.
I try to go with one.
It's the thickness of the tie, right?
He has mentioned on more than one occasion.
Oh, man, I need a knot.
I know how to tie a tie. Look at me. I don't know how to do a tie.
You're a good man. It helps if you open up your collar. That allows some breathing
room for the collar.
Yeah, the collar is really big. And my collar is about a third inch taller than most. I have them a little wider and taller. Okay. So that allows the fullest to match.
Right.
Yeah.
It's a brand.
Yeah.
Branded.
It's now it's all you. Mario, you're now with Your Call Football. You're part of the coaching staff leadership there along with Mike Sherman. This is a company that is based out of Newton. It's local.
Yeah.
And so fans vote on every play call before the play happens in real time.
Yep.
Right. So watching the game in the app, and then you get points and you build points based on what actually happens on the field.
You win prizes, you win money. But let's go back to the whole concept of how we're playing professional football. We're going to have professional-type players, and we want to help the player who's the 54th player, 55th, to keep working on their craft, mm-hmm. get better at it, and, hey, we hope you go to the NFL. So we really want to help, you know, help people continue to live their dreams. We got to play good football because people who watch us will know if we're not. So that was the first thing that's important. We have no kickoffs, no punts. Once we cross the 50, so do I, bro. And I actually hate field goals, and we don't have any of that. So
damn
once
kickers.
You cross the 50.
Eliminate the kickers.
Right?
Great. Yep.
No kickers. That's already sounding good, right?
Yeah.
Cross the 50, and you have to go for it on fourth down. And to your point, the fan calls every play. So what happens, first to 10, I throw a bundle of three plays up, A, B, and C. You know, I might give you two runs and a pass, two passes, all passes, who knows. I throw it up, and so that's why as a fan, you got to understand, you need first downs, and you need touchdowns to score points, win money, and prizes. So you got to figure out, you know, what is this quarterback really good at, and even what is the defense, maybe where's their strength. So as you call plays, it isn't just to call a play that fits the majority. Yeah. You're trying to beat people. You're trying to get first downs. So you got to do things in the offensive coordinator mindset. I got to find the matchups. That's why my job is to create bundles to help the fan get them. So they're going to be in charge. So we get the press conference. I ask them what were they thinking on fourth and one. They don't ask me anymore.
You get to turn it around.
That's right. Let's return those mics around. Hello, fans. Yeah. Let me ask you something.
Hey,
why?
You knew so much a few
Nancy,
years ago. Let me
why?
Ask you
yeah.
Something.
Yeah. Yeah, you said I was an idiot a year ago. Now let's see what you think. Why would you call that on fourth one?
Merrill Hodge, appreciate you stopping by. Again, that website is yourcallfootball.com. Check it out. Thank you.
Thank you, man.
Always good seeing you.
We'll be right back from Radio Row in Minneapolis.
Sports Hub Headlines.
Patriots getting ready for Super Bowl 52 on Sunday against the Philadelphia Eagles. Rob Gronkowski out there, but still, as of yesterday, not officially cleared through the NFL concussion protocol. Meanwhile, it was the Celtics taking care of the Knicks easily last night, 103-73, thanks in large part to Terry Rozier and his triple-double. Terry?
I guess that was the plan this morning. No, just like, just worked out perfect for me. Got to knock down some shots at the beginning of the game. Hit the open man. You know, I'm always going to get in there and rebound, so just a great night.
17 points, 11 rebounds, and 10 assists. Green have Atlanta coming in tomorrow night. Tonight at the Garden, it's St. Louis visiting the Bruins. Judd Surratt and Bob Beers on the call. 7 o'clock puck drop right here on the New England Honda Dealers. 98.5, the Sports Hub Bruins Radio Network. Headlines are brought to you by Live Nation. Kevin Hart comes to SNHU Arena April 22nd, Xfinity Center July 13th, and TD Garden September 21st. Tickets on sale now at LiveNation.com. I'm Hardy. I'm Boston's home for sports. 98.5 The Sports Hub. More headlines in 30 minutes.
Zoe and Beetle are live in Minneapolis. Thanks to Direct Federal Credit Union on the home of the game. 98.5 The Sports Hub. Radio Row, the legends of sports, the celebrities, the mall cops.
What are you doing here?
It's Zolak and Bertrand from Mall of America. Thanks to Direct Federal Credit Union. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Welcome back to Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5 The Sports Hub. We are live from Radio Row in Minneapolis, and we have another guest in our Big Y World Class Market guest chair. Steve Spagnuolo joining us now here on Radio Row. How are you, Coach?
I'm doing great. Appreciate you guys having me on.
It's a nice shiny ring you have there.
Yeah, I like that one. You don't get to wear these too often, Scott, right?
No,
got it every once in a while. They're in that safety deposit box all the time, so I figured I might as well pull it out.
The nice thing is I got two from the last 3 years, but they're so freaking big you can't wear them anywhere.
That is a challenge.
That one's wearable.
It's wearable.
I think so.
It's like a nice college basic. It's a good bull ring.
I appreciate you guys saying that.
You bring that out to rub that in the Patriots.
Yeah, sure
you
did.
No,
wave that around.
This is to remind me that at one time I knew something about football.
You've made headlines this week.
Yeah,
in
New England.
Let's please talk about that.
Okay,
yeah.
So you're here.
This goes back to the last time these two teams met in the Super Bowl, Eagles Patriots, and you were telling the story about how did that play out in game.
Well, here, let's do this first.
Okay,
let's establish this. To get a bead on signals in a game of football, in a game of baseball, to quote unquote steal signals is not illegal.
Correct.
That's not illegal.
I used to be the dummy signal caller for 6 years.
Exactly.
So
there's nothing wrong with that.
And when Beatles said that you made headlines, I mean, I'm looking at one of the headlines right now from NBC Sports. Steve Spagnuolo brings back Patriots cheating claims.
Never said the word cheating.
I know. And I was going through all the comments. Yeah. I went through a couple other stories. Former Eagles coach Steve Spagnuolo. Patriots cheated during 2005.
Never said the word cheated.
That's
from legal.
That's Philly.com.
Okay.
So
first thing, we established that, right?
Yes.
So the context of the question was, Steve, you coached against the Patriots in Super Bowl 39 and lost, and you coached against the Patriots in Super Bowl 42 and won. Was there anything that you learned from this first Super Bowl that helped you in the second? And my comment was, I remember in Super Bowl 39 that Jim Johnson felt like they had a bead on what we were doing, not illegal.
Right.
And his point was, we need to hide the signals better. We need to hide them. And so my comment was, in taking that information 3 years later, we made sure, you just said it, Scott, we made sure we had a signal caller, a dummy signal caller. We had two of them in that whole 2007 season, and we certainly did it in the Super Bowl. So that was the context. There's no cheating. It's not illegal. And we move on. Make sense?
Yeah, totally.
We listened to it. I will say, we listened to the clip of it, and we thought, this just sounds like he's telling a story about a
headline.
Game from years ago.
Yeah.
They had our signals. And people take that to mean, well, they cheated. They must have gotten the signals illegally, either during the course of the game, and you didn't say that.
No,
but
absolutely
you said they
not.
Had our signals.
Sure, and you can go live scout an NFL opponent. You can as many times as you want.
Now, do you think that's what they were doing,
or you guys to decide?
Sure, I'll tell you what I think. I think they were. They were taping.
Sure,
they
You can legally tape from the upper deck. You just can't tape from down low. It's crazy.
Except they were taping from down low.
Yeah,
we now know that league knows.
That's you guys saying.
No, but the NFL has told us that, right? The league office has told us.
Yeah, they're investigating.
Based on how they played and how they were able to detect so well, what do you think?
Look, and here's the thing. However they got to be, let's establish that. Let's say Jim was right. It doesn't have enough effect on the overall game because you're probably talking about two, three plays. Tom Brady is too good a quarterback. He gathers information on his own without anything, right?
Yeah.
All his cadences and get you to come down and show you a blitz. So let's not take anything away from Tom. Let's please not do that. He's the greatest quarterback to ever play the game, in my opinion. Bill's the greatest coach that's ever coached the game. Okay, I'm not just saying that to be nice to Boston. That's just how I feel. And we lost the game. They won. But when I was asked what I learned from one game to the next, it was make sure you have a couple guys. Like, everybody in college football does it now.
Yeah.
Right? They have all those signs.
Totally.
And they do all, yeah.
Your initial reaction when you were telling this story was that when Jim Johnson told you this, you didn't believe it at
first. I didn't. I was like,
why was that?
I don't know. I was just, I don't know. I thought he was paranoid.
What did you see on film that made you think differently?
Well, I haven't looked at, this is, we're talking 13 years ago now.
Yeah, a long time ago.
I don't even remember. It just, and maybe myself and people thought about it after the 07. So I don't even know. But I know Jim. Look, I give Jim a lot of credit.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's a pretty good football coach, too.
Sure is. God bless his soul.
Exactly. And
he's
a
great coach.
Yeah, I'm glad we're talking about him. That's good. Let's talk more about Jim.
You got any other good stories?
Yeah.
No, but
I will tell you this about Jim. So, look, we all learn from guys we work with. One thing I respected about Jim, and he probably did it in that game, I don't remember, but you put in pressures or different defenses in the course of a week. And most coordinators, and I would say myself in my early years, you run that particular defense and it doesn't work on the first play. Usually you get away from it, you don't do it at all. That was not Jim. If he put a pressure in during the week that he felt was going to work and it didn't work the first time,
right,
he'd come right back to it. And I respected that. I thought he was really good that way.
You guys had a front four, you know, led by Strahan and company, and you had some big boys down there.
Yeah.
They could actually apply pressure without bringing secondary level stuff.
Yeah.
How important is that for this team Sunday in Philadelphia, who looks like they got a pretty good down four there?
Yeah.
Can they do that? Do you think at this stage, Brady being 40 and seeing everything, that they could still only rush four and get to him or even bring that pressure?
That'll be a good question. Look, they're, you know, Tom and Josh and Bill, they're aware of that, right? So they're going to kind of offset that somehow, either getting it out quick, you know, tempoing, getting up fast, changing the cadence, try to get them to go offside. There's all, they got tools. Pre-snap, you know, Scott, you've done it, to help them. They're aware of it, so they'll try to negate it. I think the Eagles have built the right way. Look, they're built from inside out, linemen, both sides of the football, and they got a heck of a rotation defensively.
Jacksonville, too, boy. That team last week, geez, backers.
I think that, now, I thought we did a decent job late in the year when we played the Eagles, our offense, where we did get up to the line of scrimmage quick and tried to prevent the Eagles from substituting their guys. You can't do it every down, but you may see a little bit of that.
Well, I think the blueprint for beating Brady all came out of Super Bowl 42, which was that pressure up the middle, as you said.
Yeah, that
from the
helped.
Inside out. That everyone has tried to copy that since.
Yeah, and they, look at
and the Eagles will, I guess, try and do that Sunday.
The Eagles have two really good inside rushes when they put Graham in there and Fletcher Cox, and you know any guard in the league is going to have that. It's going to be a tough task when you get a one-on-one. But I don't think that they'll let that happen. I mean, I know in having worked with Josh in St. Louis for that 1 year, I remember him always stressing protect the spot, protect the spot. I mean, Tom's going to get to that spot. You've heard it over and over, right, Scott? And I think they'll try to find ways to do that, and the Eagles will try to find ways to get him off the spot.
Did you feel like you had to go man against them to disrupt the rhythm?
You know what? It's interesting you say that, Scott. We were not a big man under team out of base package. And yet in that game, I thought we had to do that because with Randy Moss on the outside, and I think it was Dante Stallworth, and, you know, Wes was inside and the whole thing, I felt like we couldn't just play zone and their play-action pass game was going to get us, or the little routes that they used to run on that. So we did play a little bit more man on first and second down, mixed it up on third down, ran our overloaded pressures, let the four guys rush. And look, that was all about players now. I mean, we had some determined guys and were passionate about what they were doing. And
defense was big, too, like just big and physical.
Yeah,
you know?
Our guys. Well, Justin Tuck was, you know, put him in a big guy, big long guy.
He was more of the problem because you said worried about Strahan.
I think
you get the one-on-ones with Tuck.
Yeah, and OC was on
the
outside. Right. We were fortunate to have those guys. Right.
Before we let you go, what's next for you?
Well, a little late in the game for the, you know, the football coaching end of it just kind of gets dried up when you get this late. But look, that's not a bad thing. I'm enjoying a little bit of this, which is fun. Yeah. Done a little bit of TV.
You could do this.
Well, I don't know if that's going to spark the flame inside. I think I'll miss the football. But I'll coach again, hopefully next year.
Hey, you got the accent. If you're looking for a job,
I got the Boston accent.
You're
right. People in Boston will understand what I'm saying, right?
They will. You're no different than anyone
else. It's Boston with New York flair. It's good.
Exactly. Yeah.
All right, Coach. Appreciate you stopping by.
Thanks, guys. Really appreciate
stuff, Coach. Thank you.
Steve Spagnuolo joining us here in the Big Y World Class Market. Guest chair on Radio Row in Minneapolis.
Listen on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app. Zoe and Beetle are live in Minneapolis thanks to Direct Federal Credit Union on the home of the game. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
This hour is Zolak and Bertrand, Radio Row in Minneapolis, brought to you by Stop and Shop. 617-779-0985. We're going to be talking to Deion Sanders shortly. Our thanks again to Merrill Hodge and also Steve Spagnuolo, clearing up his comments that he made in Philadelphia, saying that he did not call the Patriots cheaters. He did not believe they were cheating.
He's right from a signal standpoint, though. I mean, you're always trying to grab steal signals. Steal. It is what it is. I mean, we had three dummy callers. I mean, back before they even had the headsets. That's how we set plays in. I could sit here and give you the damn play again. Signal it right out. Just boom. you know, get it. We would know it like that. We used to have signal meetings for hours.
Yeah, I mean, except they were doing it with a video camera, which the league had told them to stop doing.
Right.
Sure, they weren't the only ones who had done it before, but they continued doing it after they were told don't do it anymore.
Right, right, right.
Which later came out. Now, he's talking about a game that happened prior to that notification of don't do it anymore, which is back in 2004 season, 2005 calendar year. In Super Bowl 39.
There's Tony Gonzalez. Boy, he lost all his muscle. He can't play anymore.
Whew.
Wow, wow, did he shrink. We get off the gas, man. Sorry.
Holy smokes, Hardy.
I mean,
you see him?
Yes.
You see Vollmer walk by?
He looks like a supermodel.
You think it's normal? Come on, guys. I mean, please.
Yeah, but Vollmer looks like he... I mean, Vollmer wasn't...
Vollmer was huge.
Wasn't cut like
he was 320 pounds.
No, I know.
Vollmer's lighter than
it's
me
just,
now.
It's the weird things that kind of like get smaller. Like, do you remember Teddy Bruschi? You know, when he finished playing, you're like, why is your head smaller? And you're all wayfish now. But
I remember
like
his
your bones shrunk.
His brows, his eyebrows, and his cheekbones. It was just they were huge.
Yeah.
Like, he would scout you with that intense look, and his brows would just bulge.
Yeah, it's like six.
Doesn't have that anymore.
Yeah, 6 months after he retired, I'm like what happened? Huh?
Mayo looks like a twig.
Yeah, Mayo.
It's
is
all
thin.
Weights, guys. It's all weights.
Mayo is
don't
thin.
Worry about. Don't look here. It's all weights. Just stop lifting.
Look at your arms. Half of what they used to
You've
be.
I've seen these suckers back in the day.
I've seen them.
Yeah, gun show.
There's photographic evidence of that.
Yeah, I don't need to go back there. It's Jim Mouth. Well, he's giving us the eyebrows. Like, ooh.
What?
Something must be getting close. Jim's like, ooh.
What's getting close?
I don't know.
I think you should probably go to maybe go to headlines a little bit early here.
Oh, okay. Right now? Do you want to do it now?
All right. Guest on his way up. Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
This hour of Zola, actually, I should say this week, we are presented on Radio Row by Direct Federal Credit Union. Let's get to Hardy with headlines. We're getting to him a little bit early. Dion's on the way.